They had moved the record button to like, it was under more. So you had to, like, it was all the commands on the bottom of the Zoom screen. And then it had three little dots and it said more. So you had to click on more and then click on record.
And like scroll down. It was so
Yeah.
stupid.
It was so fucking stupid. And so I'm sure that because we're so goddamn influential, Zoom was complaining about it a few episodes ago. And so now they changed that shit back. Thank you, public. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
It was all because of us.
All because of us.
All because of us.
Welcome to the weekly show about art, politics, and pop culture from a phenomenally female perspective.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane, and this is Unapologetically She. Welcome back, everyone. We have been on a bit of a hiatus.
So much
So,
fun.
thank you, listeners, for being back with us after a few weeks of just like whirlwind and fun and much needed rest afterwards, right? Here's another episode of Unapologetically She, and we are back. So, Sarah, Shantae, why don't we fill in the listeners to what we've been up to? How's it going?
Well, first we went to your wedding.
Yeah. And my feet was hurting because he was dancing.
That's why I had slippers for y'all. Put on those slippers, take them heels off.
It was a lovely occasion. It wasn't, you said the size it was really nice. It was raining so hard that day. I was just like, I hope people come to this girl wedding because she planned this and it's really nice. And the wedding was not too far from where I grew up at, because I grew up that way, in Harlem. So like it was like nostalgia, like, oh, it's my old neighborhood, it's not nice. And I directed, your family came in. I was just like, y'all Eliane's family. I said, we're gonna go this way.
Do you know what? When I was in the stairwell waiting for Myron to do our first look, I saw Shantae getting on. Do you remember? We
I
made
saw you. We were just like, oh my gosh, she looks so beautiful. No, you really look nice.
Shantae got to see me literally before Myron did.
Ah, that is too funny.
Yeah. I was like, I was hiding from Myron.
And the colors, they went together. They were nice. The navy blue suits on the men looked nice. People did look, to me, who had the best dress besides you? Your mother's dress was everything. I'm sorry. Your
She looks
mother's.
good.
Love that dress. That dress, I was just like, see, that's the perfect mother of the bride dress. I think my mom's dress was nice too, but I loved her dress. And she looked so pretty. She came in looking like a princess. Like, this must be Alien's mom because the eyes. And I'm just like, and then Alien, we met your cousin and her husband. They're so sweet.
It was a good time. It was like a really good time. It was beautiful.
I think it was the perfect amount of people. Everybody that RSVP'd, and because anybody who's had a wedding or a big event recently, just right before the event, you got to do a final, like, sure, you're coming, you're coming, you're coming, you come, final count. The final RSVP count, every one of those people were there. So,
My mother said, make sure you put some money in the card. I was like, I'm gonna put money in a
thank
card. Like,
you.
why would I not come and not put money in a card? Because she literally
Yep.
said that to me. You gonna get that girl some money, right? I was like, yes.
That's exactly what I did, and then my dumbass left it at home.
Two and a
So,
half, 3 hours away.
I know, and now I'm like, okay, well, I'm
And
not.
Sarah, I could have, and the
And
crazy
I'm
part is,
like, I'm
we
not.
passed a
I'm not.
CVS.
I know. I know. But I went in there. I went to go in my bag and get the card, which had the money in it, and take it with
Oh,
me. And I was like,
please.
son of a bitch. And I messaged Mike, and he's like, oh yeah, you left it sitting on the bed. And I'm like,
Being at a wedding, being a guest at a wedding is gonna cause you to incur some cost, right? So as the person having the wedding, you already know, listen, if somebody's even coming to your event, you know they're already putting time and money into being there, right? So that's like enough. Nobody, like we weren't expecting anything. Everything that was given was a nice surprise, but like the fact that you guys made it there, that was
no,
the
my
gift.
mom said, you better show up with her. Yeah, she literally said that joke to me. Because I think, but she said, because I was worried about your sister's wedding, because she was just like, because half of them want to drink up the liquor and everything, but they don't want to show up with no money. My mom is adamant about that. I guess she ain't getting a lot of money for her wedding. It was the 70s, it was a different time.
Different time, and listen, I just was happy to have a good time. There was lots of food. We had open bar, like we could drink, we could dance, we
The
can eat.
music to me was the standout. The music coming in
Hey, shout out to
before, shout out
and
to your DJs.
yeah, that DJ was good.
I think one of them was looking at me. I ain't gonna hold you. One of them was looking. I
Hello.
mean, and I had on the old dress. I was just like, okay, I'm not gonna get anything new because I got dresses. I got clothes. I got clothes. Like, let me look in my closet because I show y'all both my closets and let me look. I
Oh
was
my
like, yeah.
God. Yep,
Yeah.
listen. We're gonna have to talk more about it and for the after show. Yes, we will give you
Yeah,
all
all the
the
details.
details.
Did you?
But I hope everybody's been good sense and like caught up on listen, I thought I was gonna be like, I'm catching up on some rest, and you get back to work and it's just like, wow, you get pounded with a shit ton of work. And so that's how it is after a break, you come back and it's just like overwhelmed. So I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that we're here. Listeners, we're gonna have a good old time. I have a feeling the topics are gonna be pretty spicy. And I don't mean in like the sexual way, but maybe. Maybe in the after show. So before we get started, our listeners are always trying to find out something new about us. So I have a burning question for each of you. Okay, it's a good one. I think it's a good one. If you could choose an age to remain forever, which age would you choose and why?
I would choose. I would choose 35 or 36,
Okay.
because that's when I was like in my prime. Like I had the good career going as a marketing director, winning awards, like high energy, didn't have the problems with anxiety and shit that I do now. And like, just overall, that was a time where it was like overall wellness and stability for me. So I think that age, like if, throw my kid in and stuff like that, if I would stay that age forever, cool. But I think those ages, yeah.
Good. That was a good answer. How about you, Shantae? What age would
It's,
you choose to be forever?
I would either do my college years when I was 21, or I would do 32 when I actually started seeing like real money. It's either the two. 21, because that's the college years. The music was still freaking good. The reggae was still the dance hall. The dance hall was the shit. The dance hall was the shit then, and I was going to college parties and I was actually starting to go to clubs, and I went to Mars 2112 when I was 21. Yeah, that shit ain't there no more. And I just like just did my thing. And then I could say 32 because I started seeing the real money. I was already on my own. I was starting to lose weight, So it's either one of those two.
Both good answers.
What about you?
I think, honestly, I would, this age that I am right now, right now I'm 42, almost 43. I think 40 was a great fucking year. That's the year I met Myron. I was skinny. I was in fucking great shape.
I don't care. I want him.
I think 40 to 40, this age right now, like early 40s, I'm really enjoying it. So I think I would stay this age.
I
Also a good
still, when
answer.
I could not believe, she was like, I was like, huh? She was like, yeah, I was just like, at least I would have gave you the oldest I would have gave you was 30. I would have gave you like a couple years younger than me. I was just like, huh?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Cheers to that. And on that note, on the cheers note, I'm going to be bringing the drink of the week this week. And I think the ladies might recognize this drink because it was actually our signature cocktail at our wedding. So it's the perfect Paloma. And you guys know I love tequila. I love tequila-based drinks. So this starts off with about a shot and a half of tequila. Put some salt or sugar, if you prefer, on the rim of the glass that you're going to serve in. Then in a mixer, a shot and a half of tequila, about two shots of grapefruit juice. Half a shot of simple syrup, and then you mix that all up, shake it, shake it, shake it, pour it over ice in the glass, and then top it off with seltzer or club soda and like a squeeze of lime juice. Throw a little lime in there to it is so fucking refreshing. It's spring, the weather's getting better, it's time for tequila. So, listeners, press pause, go make your perfect Paloma, and then join us again for the rest of the episode. So yeah, it's gonna be my summertime drink, I'm telling you right now. So good. I had a lot of them at the wedding.
I didn't have,
Well, you.
I stayed away from the hard liquor at the wedding. I had four glasses of wine and that was enough.
Ooh. Sarah was on her best behavior and she actually looked very lovely.
You both did. You both looked lovely. The whole room looked, you guys were popping. Popping.
It was good.
Yes.
It was good. I
Yes.
posted videos of Shantae dancing. Yeah, it
Yes.
was good.
So with that, grab your drinks, everyone. Join us later for some more juicy tea. And we're gonna go ahead and go to the next segment. So Shantae, what do you got for us this week?
So, the segment that y'all all like, and it is our shot and chaser. For those who have are just joining, and new listeners, and returning listeners, and reoccurring listeners, the shot and chaser is where we give our topics of the week. We don't know them yet until we give them, and the chaser is pretty much just we just chime in after we hear the shot. So, of course, Sarah's ready. She got her papers ready. She got the highlighter over there. Like, when I don't see a paper and highlight, I'm just like, see, that's me at work. Off work, I don't do paper and highlighter because I'm off work.
Old school this way. Like, I'm old school this way. Yeah. So, I'm gonna kick us off with something serious and something that we need to be paying attention to. With the 2024 election happening now, this year. So, anybody paying attention to the news knows what has happened with the Dobbs decision a couple of years ago, that the John Lewis Voting Rights Act bill was held up because of Republicans in Congress. Civil rights bills are being held up because of Republicans in Congress. Ukraine aid until today has been held up by Republicans in Congress. And now finally, Mike Johnson wants to bring it forward because he's coming to the realization that it matters and that if Ukraine falls, that hurts democracies all over the world. It hurts the interests of all democracies all over the world. And then, of course, today or yesterday and the day before, with the House walking articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and then the Senate subsequently knocking it down, saying not going to happen. Which, good on Chuck Schumer for that. I mention all of these things because President Biden can only do so much through executive orders, and these little leftists online pretending like he's a fucking king and can do whatever he wants because they're uneducated idiots. We have 10 Senate seats that are likely to flip this election cycle. And we need to keep those seats. We need to keep a majority in the Senate. So that way, if we do get a House, which I will get to, if we do get a House majority for Democrats, we can actually pass meaningful legislation for civil rights, for voting rights, for reproductive rights, for Ukraine aid, for Israel aid, Gaza, and stop with the political theater of impeaching someone because you don't agree with their policies, which, by the way, you stopped from being able to get your policies from being enacted when you refused to pass the immigration bill, where President Biden and the Democrats were pretty much giving you everything you wanted on immigration. So, different topic on that. So, the 10 Senate seats most likely to flip in 2024. Where we need to be putting money because Joe Manchin's not running again. We're going to lose West Virginia, regardless of the Democrat who's running there. That's gone. That's already a majority. Our majority's already gone. It's even just with that seat losing, right? So Montana, John Tester, MAGA Republican running against him. John Tester somehow manages to get reelected in a red state that votes for Trump by double digits. Margins are a little close for him this time around, so we need to get out there. We need to support John Tester and make sure that he gets reelected. Sherrod Brown in Ohio, we need to make sure he gets elected. Jackie Rosen in Nevada. Ruben Gallego in Arizona, because Kyrsten Sinema first went to independent and then she decided not to seek reelection. We need to elect Ruben Gallego, or Arizona's going to be stuck with fucking Carrie Lake, who supported an abortion ban. But now, all of a sudden, the 1864 law that came back into effect as in Arizona is too much for her, even though she supported it before. So we need to help Ruben Gallego get elected. Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, he's up for re-election. We need to get him re-elected. Alyssa Slotkin in Michigan, Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, Maryland, Angela Alsobrooks. Brooks. Get her elected to the Senate because her opponent is a joke. Texas is actually really close. We've got Colin Allred there. He's currently a representative in Texas. He's running for Senate. He's pretty much neck and neck with Ted Cruz. So we need to try to get him over the finish line. It can be done. Those are just the Senate seats. And these are must-get seats. We have to get people out there to donate, phone bank, text bank, whatever you can do, wherever you are, to help get these candidates elected to the Senate so we can keep a majority. On the House side, we have how many here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 House seats that are open in Trump districts, or Trump in states where Trump won, but Biden won those districts in Congress. Okay. There are some candidates there who are not running for re-election. We need to make sure Democrats get elected in those districts. And you can find the districts with a basic Google search on who's running. There's Arizona, there's four in California, one in Illinois, there's one in Michigan, one in North Carolina, one in Nebraska, New Mexico, there's two in New York State, one in Ohio, and one in Pennsylvania. So if you're not local in those states and you can't get out and hit pavement, which if you are in those states, get out and hit pavement, please talk to people. Because what I see a lot of is these Republicans that don't like Trump voting for Joe Biden for president, but then voting Republican down the ballot. And that accomplishes absolutely nothing because they're still obstructing what Biden is trying to do. You have to elect Democrats in those districts to get us a House majority for legislation to actually make it to Joe Biden's desk. If you're going to vote for Joe Biden because you don't like Trump, then you need to be voting Democrat all the way down the damn ballot, period. End of. And I know that's not really our audience because our audience is Democrat. But y'all get out there and talk to people, your never Trumper friends, about how they'll never vote for him, but they vote Republican down ballot and tell them, no, you need to vote Democrats all the way down the ballot. We have an election coming up. Democracy is on the line. Reproductive rights are on the line. Voting rights, civil rights, all of these things are on the damn line. So get out there and do everything you possibly can to make sure that these candidates win and we get a House majority. Because right now, House majority is only by one. One. Make it happen, people.
Hear, hear. I don't think I have anything to add to that.
I don't either because you said it all.
Yeah. Get out there, vote for Democrats. For Democrats, because that's everybody, oh, go out there and vote. No, like vote for Democrats all the way down ballot. Great job, Sarah.
What's on your mind, Mrs. Well,
Mrs. Clifton.
Okay, so the last, 2 to 3 weeks, especially since coming off the high of the wedding and everything like that, I've been watching a lot of sports, and actually I've been into sports a lot more than normal this past year. So you guys know, I've been going to like my students' games, and so I've been doing like the high school sports circuit. And really just gotten more interested in women's sports. Not that I've not been interested in them before, but I'm feeling more excited about them. So a lot of the energy I've seen in the last few weeks, few months, this season is really exciting to see that so many more people are not just watching women's sports, but like talking about it. Right? Everybody's got an opinion. We're arguing. This one's the best. That one's the best. Like, I love that shit. Right? Because we hear about fucking NBA all the time, men's sports all the time. And finally, we're getting to talk about women in the media. But of course, as the media does what they do, they've completely kind of fucked it up. And I know that Sarah's going to be talking a little bit about this later. So I'm going to leave that part of the conversation to you. But I do want to talk about the way that women's sports are looked at, thought about, and covered versus men's sports. And so just a few things that literally only in the past couple of weeks have happened. So they're right in my, in the forefront of my mind. So first, did you guys see the newly released uniform for the track team? Okay, the US track
Yes.
team for the Olympics. So the male uniform, pretty standard, like a one piece, like bike shorts, tank top type combo, right? Great for running. It's tight, it's aerodynamic, it keeps all the parts in.
Keeps all their bits in.
Yeah. Enter the women's uniform. And that shit is like a, Baywatch high cut, low cut one piece. It looks obscene. Like if you jump a hurdle, your labia is going to pop out. Like that's what it looks like. I'm not even exaggerating. Some athletes have been saying that It looks a lot different on. However, I still want to go back to the idea, like, but why can't they run in the same shit the men run in? Right? Bike short, tank top, one piece combo. Keeps everything in, aerodynamic, you're tight, nothing gets in your way, your labia doesn't pop out. I don't know, call me crazy, but I don't quite understand. And that's just one little teeny tiny example of how women in sports are very sexualized compared to, men in sports in that same way. And so next little thing that happened. So Caitlin Clark got drafted, first round pick. She got drafted to Indiana. Indiana the other day was holding their first press conference with her, which is standard, by the way. It's not like, why is she getting attention today? Today she got attention because every player that gets fucking signed, their team has a press conference for them, their first time they get signed. That's what happened. The reporters, I just can't. So there was this one reporter, this fella, and I'm pulling up his name just because I don't want to get it wrong. His name is Greg Doyle, and he's a sports reporter in Indiana. Very creepily tried to like flirt with her before asking the question. So he was like, he gave her the little heart, like hand symbol of a heart, which she usually does in her family during games, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, like you like that? And he's like, I like that you're here. And she was like, oh, yeah, I do that at my family after every game. And he said, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. Like in a really creepy way, she was so uncomfortable. As a viewer, I was uncomfortable. And I know that people that were there in person must have fucking been uncomfortable. You wouldn't say that to a newly signed male athlete. I would like for somebody to find me, roll the tape, okay? If you have that out there, please send it to me because I cannot remember any time when a reporter spoke to a male athlete like that, kind of like with like innuendo, like the time, like you're at a bar getting hit on or something, right? It's fucking
Wow.
disgusting. Fucking disgusting. Then after all the WNBA draft just happened, so all the superstars got signed, and I was super hyped up. Angel Reese, like Cardoso got signed, like everybody got, I was so happy, like, yay, all the superstars, all my girls, right? Then I hear the salaries and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because that was the only reaction I could have. Listen, Caitlin Clark, and I'm just mentioning her name because she was the first round draft pick. She was like ranked first out of the players in the pool. You want to know what her starting salary is going to be as a professional fucking basketball player? Somebody who's coming off of college breaking scoring records, okay? $76,535 a year is her salary. That is what the first round draft pick to the WNBA is going to make in the year 2024. Whereas now we haven't had the NBA draft yet, but last year, if we're going to base it like the closest, statistic we could get, Wembanyama, who was a first round draft pick last season for the NBA, his starting salary, I believe it was $12 to $18 million a year. And the top female pick is making 76,000. I make more than her. And I'm a public school teacher. It's crazy. And then people will say, well, no, because the WNBA doesn't bring in the same amount of revenue and viewers as the NBA. Okay, but even if adjusted for that, they still make like a third of what the men are making,
That's
right?
not even a third. That's like a fucking eighth.
Yeah, even if we were to count like, okay, because they bring in X amount of money and the NBA brings that X amount of money and we're gonna put it on percentage, they're still making like a third of what the men make, which is absurd to me, especially since this year the popularity of like women's college basketball like way overshadowed the popularity of the men's college men's basketball. So the final game between South Carolina and Iowa, okay, women's basketball championship, average about 19 million viewers, okay? The men, about 14. People were more excited to watch the women play. They got more viewership. The women's top pick is making $76,000 a year. And also got creepily hit on by a reporter. And the women's track stars are going to be running out with their labia popping out. So this is where women's sports is right now in the year 2024. All those years after Title IX, this is where we still fucking are.
They want women to perform in these sports, but be sexualized while they do it and while being underpaid.
Yes.
It's another means to control women.
Yes, and I'm fucking sick of it. But,
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
I could not believe it. Like Cardoza, who just won a championship, her team just won a fucking perfect season. They didn't lose a game all season long. And she's making in the 70,000 a year range. Like, are you kidding me?
They made 20,000 more than me. That's
That
sad.
shit is That shit is crazy. That shit is crazy to me.
That's bonkers. Wow. That was
That's
my.
a that's a starting salary of an IT person.
Yeah. Like first year. Yep. So just leave you guys with that to think about this week. Get out there and fight the fucking patriarchy because this is some bullshit.
The white patriarchy.
That
Know that.
part.
Know that
That
part.
part.
We'll get to that. We're gonna
And
go
speaking of white patriarchy, oh, see,
Get
I'm pronouncing the words wrong and white adjacency. So DEI has been weaponized. And I'm so glad if we do get a speaker that will speak about DEI and the understanding of DEI, people will shut the fuck up, hopefully. That's just my hope. So I don't like these two hosts. I don't like them. I think they're trash. I think they're not credible. I think they're crass. I just think they're just bad energy overall. The Young Turks. Name after people who committed genocide. If, please excuse me, correct me if I'm wrong. Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian, who is actually Armenian, Anna Kasparian, I digress, had a segment talking about an article about DEI. I guess they conflated DEI and this story. I was getting confused because I don't think they were telling the story right. But it was like I think it was like a hiring manager that hires Black and Hispanic people, and they tried to use DEI as I guess as a way of saying DEI is stupid, it's dumb, trying to hire elite Black people. That elite Black people fucking pissed me off. That's one. And just overall, it was just going on a tangent. But to bring the back history of these two knuckleheads and they minions, including the Black ones that want to be the Black spokespeople. I'm glad Brooke Thomas left that sinking ship, but the rest of them knuckleheads, I don't give a fuck about. These fucking people for the last 6 to 8 years have caused nothing but dissension in our politics, have gentrified a movement that was started by Black people, for Black people, by Black people, aka FUBU. If you know what the saying is, for us,
For us,
by
by
us.
us.
Thank you. Exactly. And they colonized a health care law by their grandpa Lita from South Brooklyn, who now lives in Vermont, which was by a guy, even though he left disgracefully from Congress, a guy from Detroit who started Medicare for All. They're moving into neighborhoods that were historically Black within the last decades of the 20th century. Don't speak to the Black and brown people that live in a neighborhood that made the neighborhood, that made the neighborhood popping. And just overall, just culturally, just inappropriate, misculture appropriation. They're just a fucking shit show. So I'm saying all of this to say I don't like them. I think they're disrespectful. They don't have boundaries. They don't know how Black people are. We're not a monolith. There's some conservative Black people, but I think they're coming home because they realize the conservative white people was never for them. He would have motherfucking told you that. Hopefully, my Latino brothers and sisters who are Black Hispanics and who are in the middle will understand that these motherfuckers ain't for you by you. Okay? And just overall, they don't understand how minorities vote in this country. Just because they're not a leftist, even though I don't think you motherfuckers is leftist, because if you were leftist, leftist people, progressive, real progressive people, and I grew up with around them, will invite people to the fold. Even if you don't have to agree, they will educate you and understand why these policies will work for you. These motherfuckers can't even articulate policy. So I watched a show one or two times, and then when they started dragging the vice president, I was fucking done. I was fucking done before when she was candidate Kamala Harris. You was on her shit when she was Senator Kamala Harris going after all these knuckleheads in the Trump administration, but as soon as she runs for president, it's a motherfucking problem. Because you have the same motherfucking problem with people to judge. You consistently came after the president. But when he was Vice President Biden, you motherfuckers didn't have shit to say. When he was Vice President Biden to the first African American president, who actually curbed two, well, actually now three pandemics, curb H1N1, Ebola, and also took us out of the danger zone of COVID-19. The man knows what he's fucking doing. So fuck Cenk Uygur, fuck Anna Kasparian. Fuck that guy named John that's on there. Fuck that other Black guy with the nasty ass dreads. Fuck all those people that still work for TYT. Yes, you can record that. You can even put a motherfucking snippet on there. Fuck all of them because first of all, they're not for people. They're not for progressivism. They are horrible. They're disgusting. They're misogynistic. They're xenophobic, and they're racist. And yes, I'm going to use a non-grammar. Saying the most biggest racist and xenophobic people I ever saw streaming online.
Boom. Take that. I agree. I couldn't get through it. I couldn't. Won't.
The shit that they said about DEI, that shit was crazy. I'm just like, I'm not surprised though. I'm not surprised because this was always who they were.
Yeah.
And people were watching them. People were showing clips and everything. They were always like this. It just took so long for people to realize who they were. I knew their number. You knew their number, alien. Sarah, you knew their number. We all knew their number.
I mean, there's really nothing to add to that because you just laid out everything that they are. They're a fucking trash heap. You know, they spout out
Yeah.
misinformation, disinformation, lies. You know, it's just,
It's just the flip side of MAGA, really. It's just the other side of that same coin.
Like
Like,
they make the horseshoe into a circle.
yeah.
Why you think that list never has been deleted? It's been up for 3 years now.
Going through some things. I mean, listen.
Anna looked like she's struggling. She just putting on makeup because she looked like a struggle. Her bones are sticking out of her face.
Honey.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Right.
That.
Well.
She needs to get some food while we continue on to the next segment.
Yeah.
She needs to go eat
Yeah.
something, you know,
As
nourish her
I shove
spirit.
a piece of chocolate in my mouth.
She needs some nourishment.
She
She
needs
needs to.
chocolate.
She looked ter and what you call it needs to stop eating so much salt.
They just need to get right in their behavior, and then their health will follow.
And one looked like he needs some soap because Shank looked like his underarms stink.
You stink.
Sorry, Sarah.
Was enjoying my chocolate. Thanks for that. Man. All right. So we will close out Trot and Chaser, and we will now bring you into our final segment, Bitch Ass and Badass of the Week.
Woohoo!
It's like my favorite ones. I mean, it's like short and stuff, but I just like it because we get to like uplift people, and then we also get to pick on people that we really don't fucking like. I don't know why Shantae is like back there like that. I don't know what I said.
Because you will say this in real life. She would.
Can say that now because we've met. So every week we each come up with a nominee for bitch ass and badass of the week, and we bring them to you to decide in polls. So this week we have our three nominees for bitch ass, and I am going to, I'll start with Shantae. Who's your nominee and why?
The junior senator from Iowa, her name is Joni Ernst. I don't like her. I always thought she was stupid. From the moment she opened her mouth at the State of the Union rebuttal to President Obama, I think back in 2013, I believe, I thought she was always stupid. And now that her hair grew and is just more stiff than ever, she said she had the audacity when they brought the impeachment trial to the Senate, that historical walk with the non-lawyer and the rest of them knuckleheads. She said, we need to hear what they have to say because we need to hold Secretary Mayorkas, who is the first, I think, Cuban refugee to be in that position. We need to hold him accountable. Coming from the person who has an MPA, who sits on the, who I don't know sits on the Judiciary Committee, but she sat on it the last time, has no fucking experience. I think she really has no business to be an elected leader because she's stupid. But this is what happens. The Republican Party within the last decade have elected stupid people, and she's one of them. And she needs to get something for that hair because her hair's, it never moves. It's always stiff. She needs to go to Amy Klobuchar's hairdresser because I'm pretty sure it's close in proximity. Amy Klobuchar is in Minnesota. She's in Iowa. She needs her hair done. That shit is stiff. And I understand people got it, they grow gray hair early because she's been gray for a very long time. She's only 54, but that shit is stiff than a motherfucker.
Oh my Lord. So Joni Ernst is our first
Y'all don't see it move.
nominee.
Does her hair move? Honestly, does it move?
Like in One Piece.
It don't move.
With her head.
Even Susan Collins' hair moves, and she like,
My God.
what's wrong with
Elian, who do you have this week?
you? So my nominee for bitch ass of the week is a pro-Palestinian protester who was charged with about 18 different felonies for threatening to murder Bakersfield City Council members. She really thought, and her name is Riddhi Patel. She really thought that she could walk into a council meeting in fucking Bakersfield, California. Hello, this is not like super blue area right
That's
there.
That's Kevin McCarthy country.
Yeah, like I just moved to California and I know this. So how the fuck does she not know this? Anyways, she walked up in there and basically said that if they did not like sign something supporting a ceasefire, that they would show up to their houses and murder them. On tape, on video, she literally threatened to kill the council members. And she literally said, "We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you." And then she was in court the other day fucking crying, like, "Ah, poor me," when she threatened murder on people on video. So, yeah. So she recently was just released on bail. Her bail was originally $1 million. It was taken down to 500,000, and she still was able to post bail. So please go cosplay fucking activism in jail where you belong, you dumbass bitch ass bitch. Sorry. Yeah. I got it.
All right. Well, I'm bringing it back to women's sports for my nominee. And I want to preface this by saying I'm not putting this on Caitlin Clark. This is not her fault. We can agree that Caitlin Clark is a phenomenal fucking basketball player. Okay?
She's dope as fuck, man. She's a good player. I ain't gonna lie.
She's a good player. She's not my favorite, but she's a good player.
Get him, Sarah. Get them.
So, I actually want to kind of split this. Part of it, sports media. Part of my all-encompassing answer is going to be media. But I'm going to split it into two different things because something else important is happening right now in the news. Sports media, because the South Carolina Gamecocks just had an undefeated season with their coach, Dawn Staley, who is a badass. She is a queen. Leading her team to a victory, to an undefeated season, becoming champions. Who's the news media putting up there the most? Who are they reporting on the most? Caitlin Clark, Iowa. Why is Iowa going to the Empire State Building to light it? Why is Iowa going on all of the, all, like, where are they going on this press tour, talking to all these people as if they're the winners? Where are all of these sports analysts who are always saying there's no points for second place? Why are we giving attention to second place now that Iowa is the second place, quote unquote, winner, getting all the attention where it should be South Carolina? Where is the attention being paid to South Carolina Gamecocks winning an undefeated season? Undefeated!
Hear, hear! Sorry, I had to scream
that. That's part of it. The other part is the news media. So I'm doing sports media. The other part is news media. And this one I changed last minute. I wanted to edit on last minute because with Donald Trump now officially being a criminal defendant because his trial has started in Manhattan, he has been given a gag order not to talk about the case, not to intimidate witnesses, not to intimidate jurors, blah, 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 blah. Which he broke. He broke on Wednesday. He broke it yesterday when they weren't in court for the day. The media is helping him because they are releasing information on jurors. They may not be showing pictures or giving names, but they are giving out enough personally identifying information where people can easily find out who these jurors are. There's already been consequences to that. One of the jurors that had already been impaneled decided to come out and say, "I cannot do this. I don't feel safe because people found out because of the news who I was and that I was sitting on this jury." And the news media is fucking helping him. And it's not just Fox News, it's CNN and other big names like that, putting these people at risk because they don't think that Donald Trump's little minions will actually do anything, even though we saw what they did to the FBI office in what, Iowa, Ohio. I think it was in Ohio outside of Cincinnati, after what they did for January 6th. After, making all these people that have been arrested for giving threats to federal elected officials, but they some for some reason they don't think that they would do anything to the jurors. So yeah, fuck the media on this too. So fuck the sports media and fuck the media in general.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So that's our bitch ass nominees: Joni Ernst, Riti Patel, and media, sports and otherwise. For our badass of the week, we want to bring this out on a high note. We want to be in a good mood before we go on to unapologetically saucy and spill the tea. Our badass nominees, Shantae, start us off with yours.
Judge Lauren Lake. There's like, who's that? So, for all the other folks that don't know, more so some of the non-white people and some black people, Judge Lauren Lake is an Emmy Award-winning TV judge from Paternity Court who now has a show called We the People, and she has her own little thing called Paternity Matters and everything. And she's just an influential judge, and she's a great lawyer. She's a backup singer. Just found out she was a backup singer for Mary J. Blige a long time ago. Yeah, she
What?
was. Yep. And she sung for Jerry Springer's funeral too.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Ah, Jerry. You
Yeah,
go, girl.
so
I didn't know
y'all
that about.
seen clips, and I be posting clips. They be like, why you be posting these clips? Because she be going off on people. And it's like, she's not only a judge, but she was a public defender before. And she's a practicing lawyer. So she's like, I just want to tell you don't have to do this. Like, I be sending like Ellie Ann and Sarah, like, look at what she did. How she just tell people, like, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of all of you. You up at parties, think you cute, turning it up. Now you all turned out by yourself. But I think everybody's favorite one is when she told the mother and the son off. I think that's everybody's favorite one because she was like, how you in the world making babies and have no job? Who's supposed to take care of them? Me. So like, yeah, she'd be going in on people.
Right.
So
So we
if y'all have any time, people, listeners, y'all could, what is it? Binge watch Paternity Court, because I was doing that during the pandemic. I was just like, I like her. And I did research on her. I'm like, oh shit. Like she sung backup for who? And then I saw a clip of her on Ricky Lake like a long time ago. I was like, what the fuck? Like, oh, she's the shit. I love her. And then watch a clip of We the People when she goes in on the guy that said he had an ugly baby. He was suing his wife because he had a. You didn't see that clip? Well, I'll show. I will put it in the DMs for y'all, and I will post it online after Law and Order is over.
Oh my goodness. All right. Elion, who do you have for badass of the week?
So for my badass of the week, I feel like you and I were seeing eye to eye this week because I nominated Dawn Staley and South Carolina Gamecocks for their perfect season. They were undefeated up until the championship game, which they won very easily. It was a great game. I so enjoyed it. Camila Cardoso, they're starting set, like she got signed. This was her senior year. She got the ring, she got the contract. All the ladies were fantastic and great coaching from Dawn Staley. Like, she is that bitch.
We were vibing this week or something.
That's my nominee this week.
All right, well, my nominee, even though this happened last week, it's a pretty, I think it's a big deal for women or for people who have a uterus in Arizona, because as we all know, they brought back this zombie law that bans all abortions. Zombie law from 1864, written before it was even a state. It wasn't even passed. It was some guy that just decided this is the law. So when the Arizona Supreme Court came back and said that that law stands and that's now the law of the land, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays came out and said, maybe the law of the land, but I'm not charging anyone with it. So the state will not prosecute anyone who has an abortion, provides an abortion, etc. So good on her. And this is why it's important to elect Democrats. So I'll bring it back to the shot and chaser. This is why it's important to elect Democrats, even down the ballots. So yeah, that's my nominee. So badass of the week nominees, Judge Lauren Lake, Dawn Staley in the South Carolina Gamecocks, and Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. And that is going to close out our show. Our polls will be up online on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening, after the episode airs. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Spoutable, at The Joyful She, THEE, The Joyful She. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Unapologetically She. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane.
You can find us on all social media platforms at the THEE Joyful She.
And it's because of listeners like you that we are able to share our thoughts on current events. Please support us on Patreon at The Joyful She.
We'll see you online.